I need your helping hand. Without you, I know I can't stand. Lord, I need your word renewed in me day by day, so that I can always make my stand. With your helping hand, it's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees I'll find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Lust of the flesh, eyes and the pride of life, starting to sap my strength away. Tempted and tried, and sometimes led astray, like a lost sheep who goes his own way. Still its hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees I'll find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Mine eyes on the rugged cross, to count all other things as lost, dying to myself, living for Christ. It is really no great sacrifice. It's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees will find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Lord, I need your help. I need your help at hand.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. Last week, Christmas Day, we turned away from Romans for a Christmas message, and now we pick it back up there. We were looking at Romans 8, verses 1 through 10. 2 weeks ago, and Romans 8 is such a wonderful chapter for us as Christians. There's so much there for us And today, we're going to kind of do an overview of the whole chapter. And so we're going to look at a lot of things here in this chapter, and then we're going to come back and do more detail in the next two or three Sundays as we go through this. And so this morning, in keeping with the New Year's Day and the New Year's theme, as we look through this chapter, there are at least seven new things that God gives to us whenever we are saved. And so we're going to look at those this morning. And there they are, our new position, our new life, and our new relationship, our new hope, our new help, our new knowledge, and our new assurance. And so this is going to be more of a survey type, even though there's a lot there and a lot of verses here. We'll go through this quickly. And so in weeks to come, there'll be more detail, as I said, concerning this. Because as we enter a new year, what do we know is going to happen in this year? Well, we really don't know anything, do we? You know, we can kind of hope and wish for some things to happen and to have a happy new year. We understand as Christians there's a big difference between having a happy new year and having a joyous new year, because happiness is connected to whatever happens to us. And people, when they wish a happy new year, are wishing that the year would be prosperous and things would go our way and things would be good. But the joy of the Lord is something that gives us even when things aren't happening the way we want them to happen there. And so as we look at these things that we have from the Lord, let's look first of all by looking at our new position that we have in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you make all things new. Whenever we get saved, the Bible says old things are passed away and all things are become new. And as we enter this new year, help us to be appreciative for the new things that we have, because you are our God and you have saved us from our sins. And if there's anyone here today who's never been saved, who's never trusted Christ as a personal Savior, Lord, what a wonderful way for them to start out the new year, by giving their heart and life to Christ. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in each heart through the message from your word today. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at our new position, we see that wonderful little phrase that we have no condemnation there. Aren't you glad that we don't have condemnation? We should have condemnation because we're sinners. But the Bible says that Jesus has taken the judgment of our sins for us, and he was condemned in our place. And so we don't have to have that condemnation. And very closely connected to that is the consequence. Notice it says that we are free from the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death, God's laws, whether they are spiritual laws or natural laws, God's laws are going to be fulfilled. And the spiritual law is that because man sins, he must die. Hebrews says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that's the law that God has set forth. But God, in our new position in Christ, has freed us from that law of sin and death. And God has freed us from our sin. God has freed us from death, spiritual death. He might free us from physical death too, if the Lord comes back in the rapture before we die. But the wages of sin is death. But God has freed us from that law, the consequence that comes as a result of sin. Well, we have a new life as well. And this life, in verse 6, we see is a life of peace. And that's what the world is looking for. The world is looking for abundant life. And Jesus provides that for us. He said he's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And the life of peace that God gives to us is not just when we get to heaven, and that's going to be a wonderful life of peace, but here on earth. But not just in 2017, God gives us peace even when things are not happy around us and things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. God gives us a peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. The world gives peace when everything's going our way. But God gives us a peace within that we know that he is in charge. He's in control, and we can trust him. Also, we have a new life of pleasing God. In verse 8, it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Before we were saved, there's nothing we could do to please God. Oh, we could give food to feed the hungry, and we could do a lot of good humanitarian things, but we can't please God until we first come to know Him. This verse says they cannot please God. And so now that we're saved, we have the ability to please God. The question is, will I do that in 2017? Will my life be pleasing to God? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So those who try to please God without placing their faith in Him, they can't do it. And so it's impossible for you or for me to live a life that pleases God until we put our faith in Him. And now we can please God. Now verse 11. This new life that we have is a life of promise. He says that He is going to quicken, that means to make alive, our mortal bodies. Death is not the end of life for us. It is just the beginning, isn't it? Whenever we die in the Lord, then we are just beginning to live. We have a new life in heaven. Eternal life is what the Lord gives us. Our new life is in the Spirit now. God has given us His Spirit. But we're going to have a new life in the body later, because God is going to raise up these bodies. God is going to recreate these bodies. They're not going to be bodies of flesh and blood. They're going to be spirit bodies. The Bible teaches us that. And we're going to live in those bodies forever. And God has promised us, and those bodies that we have are not like these bodies. These bodies that ache and sometimes are hard to get going and hard of seeing and hard of hearing and all of these things. It's not going to be like that when God gives us our new glorified bodies. Another thing we have in this new life is also a life of purification there. Therefore, notice that word therefore, which is tying all of those other things together. Therefore, brethren, because we have these new things, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. What are we debtors to do? It's in verse 13. We are debtors to mortify the deeds of the body. And so our responsibility is, as believers, is to put to death those things of the flesh that are not pleasing to God. We were looking at that in our study in 1 John this past week, how we can purify ourselves, John says, even as He is pure. And so in this new life that we have, the old life wasn't pure at all. It was full of sin and impurities. But in this new life, God has given us a life of purity. And it's our responsibility, not just in this year, but until the Lord comes, that we are daily mortifying, putting to death the deeds of the body, because the deeds of the body are connected to the old life. And Christ has given us a new life. So we have a new position. We have a new life. And then in verses 14 through 17, we have a new relationship. And first of all, this is a love relationship. In verse 15, He says He has adopted us. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And God has adopted us. God has, on purpose, deliberately selected us and chosen us to be His children. And He loves us as a father. We can call Him Abba, Father. And Jesus taught us to pray that way, our Father, which is in heaven. And He introduced to His disciples a new relationship with the heavenly Creator. And that is relationship of Father. But not only is it a love relationship, we see in verse 17, He says, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so this is also a legal relationship, because God takes us in to be His child. In the New Testament, there are two words that refer to son, and we saw this briefly Wednesday night as well. One of those words is a word that's used for the birth relationship of a child that has to the parents. The other word has to do with the legal relationship that that child has to the parents there. And when the Bible talks about Jesus being the Son of God, and when it refers to Jesus as Son, it only uses one of those words ever. And the word that is used of Jesus being the Son of God is the word that has to do with that legal relationship. Because Jesus never had that birth relationship. Now, we look at the birth of Jesus at Christmas when God became a man, but Jesus has always been. He is from old, from everlasting, the Bible says. And so the Bible never uses that techna, is the word referring to the Son of God. It uses the one that is the legal right of a son. And whenever we have this new relationship with God, we have legal claims to what is His. And what is His? He's got the whole world in His hands. Everything is His. And so we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if there was nothing else that we could see in this chapter, that thought itself, it's just amazing that we have everything because of our relationship with the Lord. Well, the fourth thing that we have new because we know the Lord is a new hope. And the world looks at that word and they go into a new year and they say, boy, I sure hope this year is better than last year. Well, what's going to make it better? Do you think it's going to be a year without any catastrophes, without any wickedness, without any crime? You know, it's all of those things we know are going to be here. So what hope do we have? Well, as believers, something new that we have from the Lord is in verse 18. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And one of the hopes that we have is we're going to be delivered from sufferings there. And we all have different sufferings, whether it's physical sufferings, emotional sufferings. We go through all kinds of sufferings, and Christ suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And so one of the hopes that we have in Christ, that one of these days, we're not going to suffer at all anymore, physically or emotionally. Won't that be a glorious time? A time that we can look for? Well, we can't hope for that in 2017 here on this earth, but we will have the promise of the Lord that He will go with us through the sufferings. The next thing that we see in our hope, we are delivered from the bondage of corruption. The word means to spoil there, to waste away, to ruin, to decay. And isn't that what's going to happen to this body? This body just decays away. It's in ruins there. Once it dies, the body starts to decay. But the Bible says that we're going to have a new body. When the Lord comes again, He's going to give us that glorified body we're going to have. And that body will, not only will it not suffer, but it won't decay. That body, we will live in that body forever and ever and ever. And there will not be any spoiling at all. The next one, as you already see there, is sighing, or groaning is the word that we see in our King James Bible here. And the word sighing has to do with waiting. And you'll see the idea of waiting here. Have you ever been doing that? Have you ever been waiting on someone? I won't ask the men if you've been waiting for your wife to get ready or anything like that and start any kind of arguments in the family there. But while you're waiting, it's, you know, waiting and waiting, and when's she ever going to get ready? Or maybe it's the other way around for some of you there. That's the idea of the word. We're waiting and we're waiting, and sometimes in the waiting process we can become impatient there, because most of us don't like to wait there. And so he talks about our groanings or our sighings there, and there are three groanings or sighings in this passage here. Verse 22, it talks about creation groans. And then it talks about we groan, and then the Holy Spirit groans. All of creation is groaning now. And verse 22 tells us it's groaning because whenever man sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, there was a curse placed upon not just man, but on the ground as well. And all creation groans because it's waiting for the Lord to come, and He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be any corruption. There won't be any groanings there. There won't be any sin. And then it tells us in verse 23, and not only they, not just the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. What are we waiting for? Verse 23 says, we're waiting for the adoption, that is to be complete, the adoption we saw earlier, to wit, that is to say, the redemption of the body. Whenever the Lord redeems us and saves us from sin, that theological term justification happens in the past. It's something that the Lord does with our spirit. And then that work of salvation that He's doing now in the present, He's dealing with our soul, the work of sanctification. But the work of glorification is what's mentioned here when there is the redemption of the body. And the Lord saves that. So He takes care of our spirit, our soul, and our body, and we have a new hope in the Lord because He's going to save us completely. We're made in the image of God. We're made in three parts as God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are spirit and soul and body, and we have a hope. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. And then verses 26 and 27 talks about the Holy Spirit groans. There at the end of verse 26, it says He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so He helps us, and that's our fifth new thing we have from God. We have new help, and the help that we have is the Holy Spirit who helps our infirmities, as it says here. The word infirmities can also mean physical infirmities. The Lord can heal from any infirmity. Now, sometimes He chooses not to do so, but we do believe, we as Christians, we as Sumter Bible Church, we believe in faith healing, that God can heal. Now, He doesn't always choose to do so, and we make a distinction, of course, between faith healing and faith healers. The gift of healing that they had in the New Testament is no longer a gift that God has given today, but we do believe that God can heal from any disease, from any sickness, according to His will. And so we have help for our infirmities, but not just our physical infirmities, even our spiritual infirmities of not knowing how to pray. So we also see in verse 27 that we have help for our intercessions. It tells us in verse 27, He, the Holy Spirit, searches the hearts, knowing what is in the mind of the Spirit. Excuse me, God searches the heart, knowing the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And it may be God's will to bring healing, and it may not be, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according to what God's will is. And that's how Jesus prayed when He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And sometimes we don't know what God's will is, but we pray that, God, would You give me the grace to help me if You choose not to heal? Augustine's mother, his name was Monica, she was praying for Augustine, and she was praying that her son Augustine would not go into Italy. This was before he was saved, because his mother was a believer, and she knew that if he went into Italy, that he would probably get into more sin. And so she prayed, God, keep him from going to Italy. Well, he did go to Italy, and God did not answer that specific prayer to keep him from Italy. But while Augustine was in Italy, he got saved. And God knew what her prayer was, though she was praying, don't go to Italy, because in her mind, she thought it was going to get him into more sin. And God did through the Holy Spirit interpreting her prayers with groanings that cannot be uttered, what she really wanted was for her son to get saved. And if it meant going to Italy, and that's what happened. You know, and God works that way in our lives sometimes. Sometimes whenever we pray for something, we have in our minds how God can do it. You know, if we have a financial need, we'll say, God, if you'll help me win the lottery. Well, God, I don't buy lottery tickets, so maybe I'll find one on the ground somewhere, God, and you'll help me with this. You know, and we start telling God how he can answer our prayers. And we come up with ways to tell him how to do that. But the Holy Spirit takes the desires of the heart that we don't even know how to express, that we don't know how to pray for God's will. We want God's will, but we really don't know what it is. Well, one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is to help us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And whenever we find ourselves in trouble and in need, we can pray and say, God, will you help me? And not necessarily know what to tell God to do, because he will do according to his will that brings him glory. And the Holy Spirit's purpose, one of them, is to help our intercessions. The sixth thing that we have new from the Lord is a new knowledge once we get saved. We have a knowledge of his purpose in verse 28, and we're going to wait till we get to these verses to deal with them in more detail. We are the called according to his purpose, and also we have a knowledge of his prescience as well, that is his foreknowledge. Science, of course, means knowledge, and so things that God knows before they even happen. So God knows what's going to happen in 2017. Of course, he knows what's going to happen all the way through eternity there. And so we have a new knowledge there as well, a new knowledge about God and also of his predestination. And we'll deal with that more in detail, but I'll just say this about it. People say, do you believe in predestination? Well, the verse right here says God did predestinate them. So it's not a matter of whether we believe in predestination, but what does it mean? How do you define it? What does it involve? And we'll deal with that when we get to these verses in more detail there. Well, three things it involves. It involves his calling, his justification, and his glorification in verse 30. And just in case you're not here when we deal with those, I want you to notice one thing in verse 30, that all of those verbs are what we call past tense, or what the Greek would call the aorist tense. It says, whom he called, that means a done, completed action in the past. He justified, that is also done and completed in the past. And those that he justified, he has glorified. That is a done, completed action in the past. God has already glorified us. Now we're waiting for it to happen in our minds. We're waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of the body. But God's already done it in the mind of God. And so for us to lose our salvation, we would not only have to lose justification and sanctification, but we would have to lose glorification as well. And God's already completed it. We're already glorified in the mind of God here. And that is knowledge that we have of him. Now let's move on to the last thing, our new assurance. What can you be sure of in 2017? Death and taxes? They say those are the only things we can be certain of. Well, here Paul asks four questions, and the answers to these four questions, where we'll close, and four assurances that we can have for 2017. The first question he asks is, who can be against us? In verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The word for has the idea of being over us. And the word against means to come down upon us. And so if God is over us and for us, for anyone or anything to come down on us, before it can come down on us, it has to go over us. And since God is over us, for it to come down on us, it has to go over God. And that's not going to happen. And so he says, who can be against us? And the answer is, no one, nothing can come down on us because God is over us and for us. What a wonderful assurance that we have. The second question he asked, will not God give us all things freely? In verse 32, that is the word for grace or favor. He gives freely. God's grace there. It tells us in this verse that he delivered up his son. And if God gave to us his only son, isn't he going to give us anything else that we need? And so we can have that assurance of God's grace. The third question is in verse 33, and it says, can anyone lay a charge against us? That is, call us in to make an accusation against us, to arraign us for something. And the answer is no. Someone can't call us in to make an accusation because God has called us out. That's what the word church is, and we're saved. Christ is the only one that can judge us, verse 34. If Christ has died, yea, rather has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, he also makes intercession for us. And then he goes on to the fourth question here, and he says, can anyone or anyone separate us from the love of God? And the only one who condemned us loved us. And in these verses, he says, nothing. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, verse 38, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing in life or in death, nothing in this world or the next, nothing from the angels or demons, nothing from the present or future, nothing in the entire universe, nothing that has ever been created can separate us from the love of God. So what four assurances can we have for 2017? We can be assured that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We can have the assurance that God's grace will be sufficient. If God has given us his Son, will he not freely give us all things we need? His grace is sufficient for all of our needs. We can also be assured that Christ is praying for us. He makes intercession for us. And so whenever we have needs, we see in John 17 where Jesus is praying, and he continues to pray and make intercessions for us. And so the things that we go through in 2017, we can have assurance that Christ is praying for me. What a wonderful comfort that is. And the last assurance we can have from this passage, God will keep loving us no matter what happens. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can't have a whole lot of assurance about what the world might hold for us, but we can have an abundant amount of assurance about what God has for us in this new year. And the Bible says, as we have received these new things from God, Romans chapter 6 says we are to walk in newness of life, knowing that God is for us. He gives us all things. He's praying for us, and his love is eternal.